Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Alleluia. In math, there is a principle called the order of operations. Remember that? In order to get the right answer, you have to perform the math operations in the right order. Exponents must be done before multiplication and division, which must be done before addition and subtraction. Right order, right answer. Wrong order, wrong answer. It's a tricky thing, and often trips students up. Well, there is an order of operations with God as well, an order which is very important to keep right. For in the Holy Gospel for today, Jesus speaks to us of keeping his commandments and abiding in his love. Those words came up a number of times. The question is, what is the order of operations with those two things? Does Jesus love us because we keep his commandments? Or do we keep his commandments because he loves us? Right order, right answer. Wrong order, wrong answer. And unfortunately, many today get it wrong. To begin to answer that question, though, let us go back to when God gave his commandments, all the way back to the book of Exodus. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt. They had been for over 400 years. But God rescued them from that slavery, not because they deserved it, or because they were the best, or the brightest, or the smartest, or the strongest. They were slaves. He rescued them simply because he loved them. The Egyptians and the other nations around them didn't think that love made any sense. But nevertheless, God loved them and brought them out and said to them, "You are my people, my chosen ones, my holy priests." And then gave them the commandments. For this is how those who are chosen by God, set free and given life by God, made holy by God, and filled with the love of God, now live. They love others as they have been loved. Note the order of operations closely there. God did not give his people his commandments while they were slaves in Egypt and say, "Okay, guys, keep these, and if you do good enough, then I will rescue you and love you." No. God loved them and rescued them first, and then said, "Now love as I have loved you." And here's how. 10 ways how. Or, this is what love looks like. That is the order of operations that is also happening in the Holy Gospel today. If you heard it, love one another as I have loved you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. When Jesus spoke those words, it was just a few short hours before he was going to do his own exodus to rescue us from our slavery to sin and bring us out of our captivity to death in his resurrection. In just a few short hours, he would ascend the cross. And for who? For the best and the brightest, the smartest and the strongest? No. For sinners. For rejects. Doubters. Deniers. Power grabbers. Fishermen. Tax collectors. Schemers. Adulteresses. Or in other words, for folks just like you and me. For people entangled by sin and caught in webs of guilt and shame. For people racked with doubts and fears. For people living in darkness and the shadow of death. For people whose bodies are breaking down and whose minds are slowing down. He didn't wait for us until we were good enough. He came because we weren't. Because if he didn't, like Israel in Egypt, we were doomed to a life of slavery forever. To many, that love doesn't make any sense. For who loves sinners and slaves? But that's what makes it so wondrous. That the Son of God would come down from heaven, become a man, and then take upon himself our sin and death and rescue wretches like us. And that just as Israel passed through the Red Sea, that we would pass through the waters of holy baptism to a new life. For at the font, the resurrection and life of Jesus are given to us, and our enemies of sin and death are swallowed up. And there, the Lord said to you, "You are my child, my chosen one, my holy priest. And you are free. Free not to sin, that's what you've been set free from, but free to live and free to love." The question, though, is, what does that life look like? What does that love look like? Jesus had been showing them all along, but now they were about to see its culmination. In just hours now, they would see it on the cross. Jesus laying down his life for the life of the world. To make friends out of enemies. Saints out of sinners. He gives his life that we might have life, and gives his love that we might love, as he has loved us. The order of operations flows from us to him. From him to us, and then from us to others. I'm glad you were listening. That's even more clear, fortunately, when you remember that these words that Jesus spoke are a continuation of his words from last week. That he is the vine and we are the branches. Or in other words, as we live in the life and love of Jesus, his life and love will explode into your life, bearing fruit in you and through you. His Spirit, a stream of living water flowing out from your heart. His life and love, not just an example for your life, but as the source of your life. That when it comes to your life, the old saying be true. Christ in, Christ out. For just as Christ went into the tomb dead, but came out alive, so he has entered the tomb of our spiritually dead and lifeless bodies to raise us to a new life. That it no longer be for us sin in, sin out, but now Christ in, Christ out. His love in, his love out. His forgiveness in, his forgiveness out. That means you can't get Christ out by demanding, by laws, by force. You can only get Christ out by putting Christ in. So if there has been a shortage of Christ out in your life, a shortage of love, a shortage of forgiveness, a shortage of patience, a shortage of kindness, a shortage of care, a shortage of compassion, a shortage of faith, a shortage of strength, a shortage of trust. And who among us does not have those things? The answer is not to beat yourself up or to try to pull yourself up by the bootstraps, but to repent, to come, and to receive. To receive the love, the forgiveness, the faith and strength and all that we need to give. To drink from the true vine, abiding in him and he in us. That's why you're here today. You're not here today because you did so good this week and you're waiting for your pat on the back. You're here because you didn't. Because there was again a shortage or maybe an absence of Christ out in your life. Because you did not live as the Christian you are. Your fruit hasn't been the best. But though we break with our Lord in sin, as Israel often did in the wilderness too, our Lord does not break with us. He was in his tabernacle to forgive them and give them what they needed in the wilderness. And he has promised to be here for you as well. That returning in repentance, we receive those greatest words of love ever spoken. I forgive you. And he who laid down his life for us on the cross now comes and lays down that same body and blood on the altar. And says, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood. And eating and drinking his body and blood, we again receive his resurrection and are filled with his life. That we bear fruit. The fruit of Christ in, Christ out. And this is what John meant when he penned those words in his letter that we also heard today. When he said, this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that our faith is victorious because it is all good and wonderful in itself, some great virtue in us that lifts us above others. No. Our faith is victorious because it is by faith that we are connected to Christ and his victory. And so it is by faith that we receive the forgiveness, love, and life that overcomes the sin, hate, and death in us and in the world. On our own, we're defeated. But in Christ, we are victorious. In Christ, as John tells us, through the testimony of the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Through the Spirit proclaimed in the gospel, as we heard in Acts today. Through the water applied in holy baptism. And through the blood given in the supper. And these three agree, he says, or are one. Giving one forgiveness, one life, one love, one Christ, and making us one in Him. And so we see what the order of operations means for us. Jesus points to and joins His commandments and love because the commandments show us what love looks like. And they show us what the Christ out in our life looks like. No matter who you are or where you are at in your life. And as John said, these commandments are not burdensome. And now we can understand why. We're simply being who we are and giving what we've been given. Keeping them, we earn nothing. We've already been given everything. Keeping them is love. A love that the world cannot understand, but a love which lives in us. Because Christ is risen. Come now and receive Him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.